We're on Daf Peivav Haman Aleph in Yuma. In the last year, we discussed the Chiluke Kapara. If you recall, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said that there were only three Chiluke Kapara. What he means by the word Chiluk is that there's a Kapara that is powerful with regard to certain specific Averas or a certain group of Averas. And that's true with regard to Yom HaKippurim, with regard to Yisurim, with regard to Misa. But with regard to Tshuva, we cannot relate Tshuva to one specific Avera or one specific group of Averos, because Tshuva is required for all the Averos, and therefore it doesn't have the title of Chiluk. That was the explanation that we gave yesterday in Rashi, and we mentioned the Kesef Mishnah as well. Now, with regard to Mitzvah Saseh, Tshuva alone is mechaper. We have to mention that there are two exceptions to that rule, and those are Pesach u'Milah, because they engender a chiyuv kares. These are the only two mitzvahs asay that have a chiyuv kares, and therefore they are chamuros, and they don't fit into the category of kalos. When we speak about tshuva, tshuva means bilashon shuv, to come back to Hashem. The sin separates man from Hashem, and through tshuva he comes back to Hashem. And that's what the word tshuva means. And when the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu HaNavi, shuvu banim shovavim, the word shovavim means merida. It means that when a person follows the will and the whim of his heart, he's called a shovav. Even though he realizes that that will that he's following is antithetical to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why he's called a shovev. But the Gemara points out that it says erpa mishuvoseichem. In other words, if you come back to me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through tshuva, then erpa mishuvoseichem, which means slicha. You will get slicha. Tshuva is called in the Tanakh refuah, because the Avera is considered holy. It's considered holy anefesh. This is something that's reflected in the words of the Chayyadam in his Tefillah Zaka. So that we have an equation, analogy between chait and holy, and between tshuva and refuah. The pasuk of shuvu vanim shovavim, from which the Gemara derives that there is a power in tshuva to independently be mechaper for mitzvos asay, the pasuk itself doesn't single out mitzvos asay, but Rashi applies the svara that if there is an avera which can be atoned for by tshuva alone, it's got to be low on the totem pole. It has to be the kalos of the kalos, and that's going to refer to the mitzvos asay. So there's a svara here to assume that this pasuk, which tells me that immediately shuvu with tshuva, erpa mishuvo seichem, there will be an immediate slicha and kapara refuah, it must be referring to the kalos, which in this case, low on the totem pole, are the mitzvos aseh. With regard to mitzvos los aseh, there we require not just tshuva, tshuva alone won't do it, but we need Yom HaKippurim. And here's where we saw the word tola, tshuva tola. We said that tshuva tola means it prevents a person from peronios and he won't suffer. And then the full-fledged kapara comes with Yom HaKippurim for mitzvos lo saseh. Keep in mind that the pasuk ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem l'tareschem mikol chatoseichem, referring to Yom HaKippurim as a kapara for all chatoim, does not mention tshuva. But the premise here in this braisa, whether it's Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, is that there has to be tshuva. We're not holding like Rebbe, who holds that Yom HaKippurim is mechaper without tshuva. Rabbi Shmuel, or at least in the presentation here of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, does not classify tshuva independent as a chiluk, as one of the four, as one of the chiluki kapar, because that would make it four and not three. Even though tshuva itself is mechaber for mitzvah saseh, but nevertheless, from the fact that the first chiluk in Rabbi Yishmael's presentation is mitzvahs lo sase, the impression you get is that he's referring to all mitzvahs lo sase. It doesn't matter whether they engender malchus or they don't engender malchus. A mitzvah se is considered kala by its very nature, whereas a lo sase relative to an essay is considered an avera chamura. And perhaps the difference is because a mitzvah lo sase is done with a maisa. It's a kumva se to violate the will of Hashem, where a mitzvah se is shevi al tase. The only problem is we have mitzvos lo sase that can be violated with a shev v'al tase. For example, lo sosiru menu ad boker. Where would you classify those? Should those be classified as your classic mitzvos lo sase, which would come under the kapor of Yom HaKippurim? Or should we add those to the kalos in which tshuva, even without Yom HaKippurim, is mechaper because there is no mice? Let's just summarize three opinions amongst the Tanoim with regard to mitzvahs lo sase, the kapara for lo sases. According to one brisa, the brisa that opens up with the words lefi shenemar b'chorev, tshuva alone could be mechaper on any lav that doesn't generate malchus, with the only exception of lo sisa. According to the other brisa that starts with the words alma tshuva mechaperis, that's also the opinion of our Mishnah, as interpreted by Rav Yehuda, tshuva alone could be mechaper on Averis Lavim, if the Lav does not engender Malchus, it's considered Kalos, and it's included under the Tshuva alone, independent Mechaper. According to Rabbi Shmuel, Tshuva alone, without Yom HaKippurim, can never be Mechaper for any Lav, but on the other hand, with Tshuva Yom HaKippurim is Mechaper for all Lavim that engender Malchus. We discussed the word Tolin in the previous shiur with regard to the case of Krisus and Mises Bezdin, because there it says Yisurim Emarkin, so it can't be Tolim in the sense that he won't suffer Yisurim because he needs the Yisurim for the Gemara Kapora, but we gave a number of possible interpretations of the word Tolim. What we want to add to yesterday's discussion is the following. Are there situations in which a person can achieve kapara even without one of these chiluke kapara? Meaning, we needed Yom HaKippurim for Losa says, we needed Yisurim for Krisus and Mises Bezdin, we needed Misa for the case of Chil Hashem. Is there a possibility that one could be mechaper for any one of those averas even without those mechaperim? And if you take a look in the Sifri, in Dvarim Lamed Beis, it says there that there's a hekesh between Divrei Torah, meaning the study of Torah, and a Soyer Mishtalech. Ma Soyer Mishtalech Mechaper al Kol HaVeros. We know that Soyer Mishtalech that was brought on Yom Kippur, the Zman Beis Mikdash, would be Mechaper on all HaVeros. And that means even without Yisru, without Misa, is Af Divrei Torah Ken. It would seem from this Sifri that Divrei Torah means Esek HaTorah alone has the power to be Mechaper without any other Mechaperim. Now, the Mefarshim, if you take a look in Yoredeya Reish Samach, Reish Mem Vav, the laws of Talmud Torah, will speak about someone who pays or finances the study of Torah. That's considered as if he himself, the Nadvan, studied Torah. And there's a possibility of being mechaper on averos, even the most chomer averos. Again, you're going to need tshuva in order to accompany that process, but that alone seems to be the final klitcher of the mechaper. And we'll see that in Rabbeinu Yonah's Shari Tshuva, he writes that of our Adam al Krisus o Mises Bezdim, Hayuragil Likro Perik Echad Bayom, Yikra Shnei Prakim, Hayuragil Likro Shte Parshios, Yikra Shte Parshios. It seems from Rabbeinu Yonah that even though we're dealing with Averis Chamuris Krisus o Mises Bezdim, nevertheless Talmud Torah would bring a kapara for these Averis. And we don't have to wait for Yom HaKippurim, we don't have to wait for Yisurim. Rabbeinu Yonah continues and he says, "Royal ol baal tshuva losei tzedaka ulis asik b'chesed." That if the baal tshuva gives tzedaka and he dedicates himself to do chesed, Even these mitzvos have the power mo'ilos lahagin olivnei amisa lifnei yisurim lechaper al avera. And he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, tzedaka tatzil mimoves, and bechesed va'emes yichupar avon. So we certainly see that in addition to all these mechaperim listed here, there's an additional mechaper, and that is Talmud Torah, or tzedaka, or chesed. And not only that, but there seems, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, to be another way of being mechaper on an avera, and that is when you do an action which has the exact opposite impact of the avera that you did. For example, you did Chil Hashem, which we say needs Misa as a mechaper. Nevertheless, if he's Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, that Kiddush Hashem will counterbalance the Chil Hashem and will bring him Kapara. And Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva says that Lekadesh Toroso Neged Bnei Adam, that somehow his learning is a Kiddush Hashem, Lodia Livnei Adam Gvuras Hashem, or if you notify, you teach others about the greatness of God, the Kvod Hadar Malchuso. These are all methods of fulfilling Kiddush Hashem, which becomes a Kapara for Chil Hashem. The Meiri explains here in Yuma Peivav that Rabbi Shmuel in this brice of Chiluki Kapara is coming Lahoyer Es Ruach Achote. He wants to inspire the sinner, Leos Nizar, to bring him Lashuv B'tshuva Lefi Chomer Avera. But, says the Meiri, Aval Tshuva Gemura Mo'ila Li'olam, that if he does a full-fledged tshuva, that for sure will bring about his kapara. The Chiluki Kapara, according to this interpretation, are only meant to move a person, to motivate him to do tshuva. But the real kapara is tshuva. And from the Meiri's perspective, all the various mechaperim, whether we're talking about Yom Kippurim or Yisurim or Misa, they all have the ability and their goal is to awaken a person, to inspire him to do tshuva. And therefore, Yisurim has more of a power on a man to bring him to tshuva. It's greater than Yom Kippurim in its motivating power. Misa, of course, is the greatest of them all. That'll certainly motivate a person to do tshuva. And therefore, since it all depends and reflects the chumras avera, so too the amount of tshuva, the greatness of tshuva, the quality of tshuva, the intensity of this tshuva has to reflect and correspond to the intensity of the avera and its severity. So tshuva that comes for an avera of a losasa, which we call Yom Kippurim, that tshuva might not have to be as intense and profound as a tshuva, for example, for a chayve krisus, which is an avera chamura, and it requires a tokef, a power of tshuva that has to reach a very profound level in order to be mechaper for such an avera chamura. But the bottom line is, a person, a sinner, does not have to experience Yom Kippurim, Yisurim HaMisa in order to achieve kapara. The main goal is to achieve the darga, that level of tshuva shlema, of a complete total tshuva, and then an avera, even a chamura bioser, is wiped off. That is the sheet of the Meiri, and that really impacts on the whole sugi that we saw. In a very similar way, we can explain, according to certain mefarshim, that Rabbi Shmuel's words about chiluki kapara address the connection between tshuva miyira and punishment. That tshuva does not automatically, independently bring about a kapara. That's tshuva miyira. And the onus is still, so to speak, hovering over him, at least in the case of averes chamuros. And that's when Rabbi Shmuel requires the four chiluki kapara. But if you take a look in the Rif on the Ein Yaakov, he claims that if a person does tshuva me'ava, then he can achieve a kapara shleima gemura without any need to delay and to wait for another mechaper. Even if he violates the most averes chamuros, if he does tshuva me'ava, the avera is completely wiped off. And we're going to see this later on at Peivav Amid Beis, that according to the Gemara, the power of tshuva me'ava is such that it converts sins into zachios, And that would clearly indicate that there's no need for any other mechaper of the four mechaper. So this also, this riff in the Ein Yaakov is a little bit along the lines of the Meiri, that as we read the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel, the story doesn't end here. We walk away from Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Lozman Azariah thinking that in these cases of those groups of Averis, there's no way of achieving Kapara without the various respective Mechaprim, and that's not necessarily the case. Rabbi Shmuel might be either awakening us to do tshuva, but tshuva is really the final goal here, or Rabbi Shmuel might be talking about a lower level of tshuva called tshuva miyira, but einachinami and tshuva miava, there's no need, once you've wiped off the sin, to be mechaper through the various mechaperim that are mentioned here. Today we want to continue in the sugya, and we'll take a look at the statement of Rabbi Yehuda on the bottom of Peivav Haman Aleph, four lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Yehuda Rami, Rabbi Yehuda had a stira between two psukim. One pasuk is the pasuk that we've already studied before, Shuvu Vanim. The pasuk in Yirmiyah, Shuvu Vanim Shovvim Erpa Mishuvasechem. And here the Baal Tshuva is considered Bonim. That's how he's described as a son. The relationship between the sinner who's done Tshuva and his father in heaven is that of a son to a father, Ksiv. But elsewhere it says also in Yirmiyah, Ki Anochi Baalti Vachem Velakachti Eschem Echad Mi'ir Ushnayim Mi'mishpacha. And this pasuk, which is in Yirmiyah Perek Gimel, the previous pasuk was also in Perek Gimel, indicates Baalti, says Rashi. Rashi's lashon is Ksiv Shuvu Vanim Alma Baalti Tshuva Kriyim Banim Ksiv Ki Anochi Baalti Bachem Alma Avodim Mikru. That the relationship between the Baal Tshuva and HaKadosh Baruch Hu after Tshuva is that of an Eved to his master. How does this pasuk of Baalti indicate that? And the answer is because this pasuk is talking about, just one second, let's just clarify this. The pasuk says the following: I, Hashem, are your Adon, your sovereign master, and therefore it's appropriate for you who've rebelled against me to repent, to do tshuva. And then I will take you out of the golus, lakachti eschem echad mi'iru shnai mishpacha. It's quite clear from this pasuk that the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shav B'tshuva is that of a master and his servant. Even though this pasuk itself begins with Shuvu Banim Shovavim, nevertheless, the pasuk of Shuvu Vanim is referring to perhaps someone who was a ben before he did a chet, and after he did a chet, he forfeits his status as a ben. But in terms of regaining the status through tshuva, the pasuk seems to indicate here that ki anochi ba'alti bachem is a madrega of an eved, and the word ba'alti is indicative of I have subjugated you as a master to a slave. And let's just see if we can embellish this a little bit further. We'll quote some of the Mefarshim on the pasuk in Yirmiyah, the Metzudas Tzion, Metzudas David, Rashi over there. Baalti is Sar V'Adon. I am the master. And this is based on the pasuk in Shmos Chav Gimel in Bailav Imo. Baalti comes from Lashon Bailim, which means sovereign control. On top of that, we have the Metzudas David, who says that the reason why you should do tshuva, that's how we interpret the pasuk, is because I am your Adon, and it's fitting for you to do tshuva. And then we have Rashi, and Rashi says, "Ki anoki ba'alti b'chem nikresem b'shmi shani adon lachem v'ein kvodi laniach eschem biyad oivai." But in any event, what's clear and common to all these mefarshim is that the pasuk of Hinei Anochi, Ki Anochi Baal Tibachem, is indicative of Hashem's relationship to the Baal Tshuva as the relationship of an Adon to an Eved. So what does Tshuva accomplish? Does it make me into a Ben, or does it make me into an Eved? That seems to be a stira, says Rabbi Yehuda, between two psukim here in the third parak in Yirmiyah. And the Gemara answers, Lo Kasha Kan, the case of Shuvu Banim Shovivim is mi Ava, he does Tshuva mi Ava, or perhaps mi Yira, but in any event he does Tshuva on his own initiative. Kan, but here, the Pasuk Anochi Baal Tibachem, that's a case of Al Yidei Yisurin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought suffering upon a person, the sinner through Yisurim is brought about to do Tshuva. If his tshuva comes because of the Yisurim, that's not the same level as a self-initiated tshuva, and therefore he ends up, the Baal tshuva, with the status of an Eved. In other words, when a person does tshuva because of hechrech, you know, he's really in a situation of he's compelled to do tshuva, he's like an Eved, who's totally under the control, the dominion of the shevet of his master, and he has to straighten up himself. Otherwise, he's in deep trouble. Now, it's true that through Yisurim a person could come to tshuva gemura. However, tshuva gemura mi'ava, which means there's no external source or pressure that's bringing him to do tshuva, that's the highest level of tshuva. But sometimes it could be possible that a person could come to a level of tshuva gemura even through Yisurim. In reality, tachlis, a person who suffers Yisurim would very likely come to tshuva gemura, even though it was motivated by Yisurim. It doesn't matter, there is tshuva gemura. Now, there's another girsa here that Rashi quotes. We're not going to get into that now. That's not absolutely necessary for us. Let's just read the next Gemara about Rabbi Levi. So this you'll see on the next to the last line on Pei Vav Amud Aleph, and we'll turn soon to Pei Vav Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Levi, Gidola Tshuva Shemagas Ad Kisei HaKavod Shenemar Tshuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokech. The Pasuk in Hosea indicates Ad Hashem Elokech. We come all the way to the Kisei HaKavod. There's a very intimate relationship between the Shav B'Tshuva and HaKadosh Baruch. So this statement of Rabbi Levi is indicative of the fact that Tshuva has many different madregos, one above the other, and Rabbi Levi is talking about the highest darga, perhaps the darga of tshuva mi'ava, which is magas ad kisei hakavod. The Rambam in Perek Zayin Milchus Tshuva says gedola tshuva shemakareves es adam l'shchina shenemar tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Hatshuva makareves es arachokim emesh hayezeh sonui lifnei amokom shukatz meruchak v'toeva v'ayom hu ohu v'nechmad korav yedid. And the Rambam goes on to speak about the Maila of Maila Satshuva, Emesh Hayezeh Muvdal Me Hashem Elokei Yisrael Hayetzoik Veinenena Osem Mitzus Etorfen Osam Lefanov Vayom Hu Mudbak Peshchina Tzoik Veinena Miyad Osem Mitzus Mekablon Mekablon Osam Benachas Uvesimcha Vloot El Shemis Avin Lehem. It really is clear from the Rambam in Perek Zayin Milchus Tshuva that the power of Tshuva on the highest level really makes a tremendous transformation of the person. Now he's close to Hashem. Yesterday he was far from Hashem. This is the Pasuk, Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. We would like to mention that the Tosefes Yom HaKippurim adds a little bit of a twist here, and he says, G'dola Tshuva Shem Mechaperes Afilu Al Averos HaMagios Ad Kisei HaKavo Kigon Avodah Zorah Or HaKofer Bi Echad Mi Ikrei Adas. This is an interpretation of the Tosefes
Tosefos Yom Kippur, based on Rabbeinu Chananel, that Magas Ad Kisei HaKavod is a reflection of the Chumras Avera. The Avera is so severe, like Avodah Zorah or Kofar, Be'ika Adas, that even though it's Magas Ad Kisei HaKavod, you're mamish being Pogea Kaviyochol in the Kisei HaKavod, and nevertheless, Tshuva is great enough to be Mechaper. We would like to mention the Marsha here on this Gemara of Rabbi Levi. The Marsha interprets Gedola Tshuva Shemagas Ad Kisei HaKavod based on a parallel to Tefillah. He says that just like in Tefillah, we find that sometimes a person's Tefillah needs the intermediary power of the Malachim. They're the Melitze Yosha. They come to bring his tefillah in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And so too, one could have postulated that with regard to tshuva, there's a similar kind of thing, that in order for the tshuva to reach Hashem, it's got to go through some sort of emtza'i, some sort of intermediary. And therefore, Reb Levi is deriving from this pasuk that no, that tshuva could go directly to the Kisei HaKavod without any intermediaries. There's no need for Malachim to bring his tshuva, but tshuva magas yeshiros ad l'kisei HaKavod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts him straight away without any connection to Malachim or anything like that. That's the Marsha's shot here, and I could read to you a little bit of the language of the Marsha. He says, Matzinu gabi tefillah sheyesh emtzoyim bein ha'odom lamakom, tanu sheyesh malachim sheimekatrigin milashmiya tefilaso lifnei hamakom, v'yesh gam malachim sheim sanigorim umelitzim tovim sheyagia tefilaso lifnei hamakom. Lachein amar Rav Levi shebetshuva ein emtzoyim klal. Elohi atzma olad kisei HaKavod. Now, we want to point out something very, very important, and that is that there's another girsa in the Gemara, which we don't have printed in our text, but this girsa appears in many, many places. It appears in the Yalkut Shimoni, in the Ein Yaakov, Rabbeinu Chananel, the Marsha. And according to this girsa, there's a piece of our Gemara that's missing, and Rabbi Yochanan says, Ad v'lo ad b'klal. In other words, he interprets Shuv Yisrael ad Hashem al-kach, not like Rabbi Levi, who says that Shuv Magas ad kisei HaKavod, rather ad means until, but lo ad b'klal, Shuv doesn't reach the kisei HaKavod itself, it's just samuch to the kisei HaKavod, but v'lo elov mamish. And the next piece in the Gemara, Umi Omer Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, the Gemara, according to that girsa, which we don't have, raises a stira, a contradiction. How could Rabbi Yochanan say ad v'lo ad b'chlal? V'omar Rabbi Yochanan gidola tshuva shedoches losas ha-shabbat Torah. So what we're missing are two lines in the Gemara, according to this girsa. Number one, Rabbi Yochanan Omar ad v'lo ad b'chlal, and number two, umi Omar Rabbi Yochanan hachi, which in fact is the next line in the Gemara. So let's turn to Pei Vav Amid Beis, read the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, which according to that girsa is a stira to what Rabbi Yochanan said ad v'lo ad b'chlal. Omar Rabbi Yochanan gidola tshuva shedoches losas ha-shabbat Torah. Is so great that it overrides a lav in the Torah. And here, Rabbi Yochanan quotes a pasuk in Dvarim Chav Dalet. The pasuk says, "Lo yuchal baila harishon asher shilcha loshuv lekachta." And the pasuk in Dvarim, which is not quoted here explicitly in the text of the Gemara, is sort of the background for the stira based on another pasuk. And the other pasuk is in Yirmiyah Perek Gimel, pasuk Aleph, Lamar, Hein Yishalach
Ish es ishto v'holcha mi'ito v'hoysa lish acher hayoshuv eileha od halo chanov technafa oretz ahi v'at zonis, etc. And then it says v'at zonis reim rabim v'shov elai niyum Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives here a sort of a mashal in which he says that when a man divorces his wife and she gets married to another man, the first husband can never remarry her. Because once she's married to another man, there's an iser of machzir grushos lachash in nises. And halotech to ha'aretz, if he would retake her, he would be machtias ha'aretz. And that would be a very severe violation. In fact, going back to the parasha in Devarim that we mentioned earlier in Chav Dalet, it says ki soeva hi lifnei Hashem v'lo sachti es haaretz, meaning there's something unique about znus, about immoral relationships, which is machti es haaretz, and that applies to a case of a machzir gushos lachash and niseis. That relationship would be one of znus, and it would be machtias ha'aretz. So certainly the original Baal would not be allowed to marry her. And in the Nimshal, Knesset Yisrael is also, in a sense, like a woman who got married to another man other than her husband, because if Knesset Yisrael worshipped idols, and again, that's what Yirmiyahu HaNavi is saying to the people who are guilty of idolatry, that you have been disloyal to your husband, to your God in heaven, and you've gotten married to another God, so to speak. You've taken upon yourself a different God. And therefore, now if you want to come back, as the Pasuk says, v'shov elai, and you want to do tshuva, can your first husband retake you, remarry you? The answer is absolutely no. And yet the Torah says, the Tanakh says, Shove Lainu Hashem, that God will re-establish his relationship. He will remarry his original wife, who was married now to a different man because she worshipped idols. That Shuva has the power to override this losasa. And the question that I want to raise with you here is, how, according to the Girs that we mentioned earlier, that Rabbi Yochanan had said ad v'lod b'chal, how does this statement of Rabbi Yochanan about the fact that tshuva is dochalosus, how does that contradict his original statement of lod b'chal? Tshuva comes close to the kisei hakovod, but not ad, not all the way to the kisei hakovod, and yet, at the same time, it's great in the power of tshuva, in the ad v'lod b'chal tshuva, that it is capable of overriding a losas. And the other question that I want to raise with you is, what is this essay dochalosas over here? First of all, was there ever a get? You know, there are many psukim in Tanakh which indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gave a gerushin to Klal Yisrael. I'll give you an example. Yishayo Anovi says in Perek Nun, Eze Sefer Krisus Imcha Asher Shlachtiyo, I never gave your mother a get krisus. And in Yirmiyah it says also something that very much indicates that. But beyond that, if we have a principle called esei dochalosas, which is a sugya at the beginning of Yevamos and elsewhere in Shas, then why is tshuva considered great here in the words of Rabbi Yochanan? Because esei dochalosas. Yeah, I mean, if esei dochalosas, then it should apply to tshuva as well. And in truth, we have to ask a more fundamental question. We asked already, where's the gerushin? Number two, we asked, what's the chiddush of esei dochalosas? But the third question we ask is, which esei is being docha elosas? I mean, Klal Yisrael are doing tshuva. They want to come back to Hashem. Hashem is taking them back, like the Bala HaRishon, who takes back his wife, Liacher Hashem Niseis Liacher. Hashem is violating Kaviyochel Elosas, but where's his essay? I mean, he's not doing the tshuva. And the Tosis Yom HaKippurim quotes in the name of the Kesef Nivchar that this is Gufa the Chiddush of tshuva. The power of tshuva is that it's docha losa in a situation where the universal principle of esse docha losa would not apply, because esse docha losa means that the person is doing the esse while he's violating the lav, that's called be'idna, and then the need to violate the lav in order to achieve the esse, it gives the esse, empowers the esse with the ability to trump the losa. But here it's Knesset Yisrael who are going back to Baila HaRishon, and they're doing so because of esse docha losa. But why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's not mitzuv in the esse of tshuva, how does he, with a capital H, kavyachol, permitted to take back Knesset Yisrael as his wife and to be docha the lav of Machse Gusha Salacha Shenises? He's not being mekayim any esse here of tshuva, and therefore there's a gevaldige chiddush, says the Kesef Nivchar, in the greatness of tshuva, that because of the necessity of accepting and making effective the tshuva of Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, as the bride, the original husband will remarry her, even though technically there's no din of esse dochalosase. And the Tosefos Yom HaKippurim disagrees with the very premise of the Kesef Nivchar. He holds that if Reuven has to fulfill an esse and therefore be docha a losase, and even though Shimon will have to help out Reuven and facilitate Reuven to mekayim the esse, Shimon himself is not chayiv in the esse. On the contrary, Shimon will violate a losase. So once there's a din dechiyah for Reuven, there's a din dechiyah for Shimon as well. And that's a lamdish question about how esse docha losa operates. But be that as may, according to Tosfos Yom HaKippurim, this would be a classical case of esse docha losa. Once again, we're back to that original question. What's the chiddush here that tshuva is so great that we apply the principle of esse docha losa? And the Tosefos Yom HaKippurim gives a very original explanation in which he says that there really is no gerushin here. And the Navi is not telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megarish Knesset Yisrael and she went ahead and married another man. But rather, it's like the case of an Eishes Eishes Zinso, when Klal Yisrael, within the framework of their loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, worship idols. That's called Znus. That's called the Nitma, which means the Iser of Sotel Abayla Echel Aboel, that since Knesset Yisrael has been disloyal, then the Baal HaRishon, or for that matter, there's only one Baal, cannot marry her, cannot remain married to her, I should say, because of a lav and an essay, according to the Sugya in Masechta Yevamos, in the case of Vinistra of Initma. And that Gemara is on Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis in Masechta Yevamos, Darshaning the Pasuk Lo Yuchal Baila Rishon Achri Asher Hutama L'Rabo Sota Shenivala, and there's another Pasuk Vinistra of Initma, so we have both an essay and a losas. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, because Yirmiyah is teaching us a Kalvachomer. He's saying, Madach, in the case of a woman who was legally divorced by her husband, she had a right to live with another man, nevertheless she becomes prohibited to her original husband because of the relationship with another man, how much more so in the case of an Eishes Eishes Zinsa Tachas Baila, certainly she's Asura LaBaila, and therefore you, Knesset Yisrael, should not be allowed to reestablish your intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, because of the Znus of Avodah Zarah in this case. And here there's a great chiddush that tshuva is docha a losase, but it's not just esse docha losase, because here the case of Eishes Eishes Zitzatachas Baila is a losase and an esse, and the rule is that esse is not docha losase v'esse. So that's the great chiddush. What the Tosefos Yom HaKippurim has to address here, which I don't have that now, is, so what's the maskana? Now, I understand what the hava means, sakadait kavina, that esse docha losase would not apply here. Let's say, according to the case of Nivchar's pshat, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Baal, doesn't have the tzivri, the mitzvah, the esse of tshuva, and therefore there's no esse docha losase. Or according to Tosefos Yom HaKippurim, that we're talking about Eishes Eishes Zinsatachas Baila, and there's a lav and an esse, so how could the esse of tshuva override a lav and an esse? But obviously we're not taking this on a pure halachic level, we're talking about tshuva as a special category that
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to reestablish his relationship with Knesset Yisrael, despite the fact that under normal legal conditions, a husband would not be allowed to establish those intimate relationships with his wife. And then we come back to our original question, that if Rabbi Yochanan indeed had said, according to that girsa, ad v'lod b'chlal, why does the Gemara see a stira here to Rabbi Yochanan's next statement of G'dola Tshuva Shedoches Losa Seshava Torah? Does that mean that's Magas Ad Kisei HaKavod? And the answer is, and this you might not see explicitly in the Marsha, but it's really there, is the end of this pasuk quoted by Rabbi Yochanan. The pasuk in Yirmiyah concludes with the words Vishov Eilai Miyum Hashem. And the word Eilai here indicates ad the ad bichlal. Eilai means without any separation, we come all the way back to be together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is all within the context of a marriage relationship, that the husband and the wife resume marital intimacy. That's ad vi ad bichlal. And that's against Rabbi Yochanan's statement that ad v'lod bichlal. And the Gemara's answer, which again we don't have in our gears in our text, is habi yachid habitzibur. That when a yachid does tshuva, he needs a little bit of help. He's not yet at the kisei hakavod. You know, he's turning second base, third base, but he's not rounding the base and coming into home plate. In order to be ad v'ad v'chlal, he's going to need the help of various intermediaries, like we saw by tefillah. But kan b'tzibur, in the case of b'tzibur, the power of b'tzibur to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tshuva is so intense, they need no intermediaries, and therefore it's ad Hashem Elkecha, ad v'ad b'chlal. There's no stira between the two statements of Rabbi Yochanan. Fascinating is the Rabbeinu Chananel, who has the exact opposite interpretation. When the Gemara answers according to his girsa, kan b'yochid ha-b'yochid ha-b'tzibur, it means that dafka yochid can come to ad v'ad b'chlal, and as an individual he can reestablish that marriage, that intimacy, coming right up to the kisei hakavod through tshuva gemura. But in the case of the tzibur, once the tzibur has violated a severe sin, the likes of which Avodah Zarah is considered like Znus Tachas Baila, then the Tzibur does not have the power through tshuva to reestablish the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Ad V'Ad Bechlal, to reinstate the marriage relationship with all its intimacy. That's Rabbeinu Chananel. But I think the more logical way of understanding this, which is the way the Achronim understood it without Rabbeinu Chananel, is that the power of the Tzibur is greater, it supersedes that of a Yochid, and it could create a tshuva of ad v'ad v'chlal. Okay, we'll stop here.